And on Our Town, we're going to do a little sports talk this time. We got Chris Johnson, athletic director at Sayula High School here. And Chris, first things first, new search, new football coach. How's that going?
Well, it's definitely a process. It's out on the school website, and there's a list service that goes out to anybody who subscribes to it. It's put out by a former athletic director, and it has a pretty wide scope. So we put it on there, and I've had a lot of phone calls, a lot of conversations, had a few people come to visit. This is just all preliminary stuff, It closes on the 6th, April 6th, and then we have a committee, and we'll hopefully try to find someone who can take over the program and lead it in a great direction.
So what are the hopes? Is it something you'd like to maybe find someone that's had ties here before in the community, or would you just looking for the best candidate overall?
Well, obviously. Obviously we want the best candidate. It's a difficult position to come in here and follow. I think Coach Poole did a great job the years that he was here. He's a great guy. I'm gonna miss Jamin, but obviously the lore of Sayula football, Lynn Letero and Tim Dodson have spent 50 plus years at the helm and had incredible success for a town of this size. So I know how important it is to the community that our football team is competitive, and it's been a rough couple of years, but we feel like we have some kids coming up that are going to be strong. We had a great freshman class. The 8th grade class is pretty strong. So obviously you want to try to find somebody who has a vision, and I think has to understand that this isn't the – just because Tim and Lenny did so well here, it wasn't ever easy. Those guys were gifted coaches and put their heart and soul and their life and their passion behind trying to build something as successful as it was. So the people I've talked to, I said, hey, we just want somebody who wants to come in here and wants to go to work. I mean, I think this is kind of a blue collar town still. I think the way you're successful is just to put your heart and soul into something and to be a leader, to be a motivator, to just to put a face on our athletic program.
Well, I mean, even with the 50 years of pedigree before that, I mean, they must have had some down years. They must have had some years where
there wasn't very many down years. No, I know there was a couple
even
years
at the very beginning.
Well, yeah, I think I can't quote, but I think Lenny Letero might have had one or two losing seasons, and I don't think Tim had very many either. I was only here 1 year when Lynn was still the head coach, but actually they played against my high school team. My dad was a football coach for 42 years, and he just has that mentality. And Coach Letero wasn't just a football coach. He was instrumental in a lot of different things. I know that the 1988 girls basketball team that won the state championship, who was inducted into the Hall of Fame a few years back, they spoke volumes about just the impact that he had on them. And so, and same with Tim. When Tim was here, he was coaching basketball. He coached boys basketball, girls basketball. And I think what those guys also did, which is what we really like to be able to package this job, is to bring somebody into our school who – sees the value in all sports. And, it's not necessarily tied to the weightlifting program and the PE position that's available, but there's no question that having a PE position available and with the weightlifting attached to it is a big draw for a lot of football coaches. A lot of football coaches are PE teachers and because the weight room is so important to what happens in there. And so for me, when I was in high school at St. Helens High School, we were pretty bad in sports. And there was a coach who coached at Rainier High School. His name was Wes Bigham. And when our football job opened in St. Helens, Wes came in and took the job. And he had been in the state championship game at Rainier the year before, and they'd lost a close one to a much bigger school. Rainier's like a 2A school now. Anyway, the day he walked into our school, things changed. I mean, he got everybody in the weight room. He knew what the volleyball team was doing. He knew what the cross-country team was doing. He was trying to get kids to play multiple sports. I mean, he just changed the culture of that school, and they went on to win a couple state championships in football and everything else as well. So, and the people I've talked to, that's what we want, is someone who's an ambassador for Sayula sports, someone who understands, again, we're a blue-collar town. We're a small school. We're up against, Marshfield and Marist and Cottage Grove, and we have to do more with less in order to find some success. So that's what we're looking for, someone to come in and just make this, to make a difference, this isn't just a job. I tell people that teaching and coaching is not a job.
It's a calling.
It can be a calling, but it's a lifestyle, and it's just something that you just can't go halfway. You just have to put your heart and soul into it. And so that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping for the best, knowing that it's not going to be an easy situation, but hoping to find that diamond in the rough to come in here and really lead the charge.
Would you like to have a name and a person in place before the end of the school year so they can kind of get with the kids, meet the kids?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, the football job closes on like I said, closes on April 6th. But there's a couple of teaching positions out there too, and those are closing relatively, you know, in the same time frame. So, I mean, I can't say that the football coach is going to be the lifting coach. I can't say that they're not going to be. Hopefully there's some of the candidates that we've looked at are interested, obviously, in both positions. So, the idea is to get it in place because there's summer ball, spring football to think about. Someone's got to come in here and get to know the school, the system. They're going to have to teach. So, yeah, it's something we want to get. We don't want to hurry through the process because we want to make sure we find the right fit. But at the same time, if it was me and if I were going to come in and be coaching in the fall, I want to know as soon as I could so I could get busy.
Of course, there's no real similarity to next year's football schedule except for a couple of games that you're going to repeat being right in the new league. So how's that going to
We had some options. Obviously, we didn't – this whole reclassification and redistricting process, was really trying from the get-go because we were kicked everywhere. We were in the Medford League. We were in 4A. We were in 5A. Mm-hmm. We're going here. We're going there. And then we actually petitioned to play down, and make a long story short, we barely missed the criteria. So we really didn't know where we were, and we were pretty certain we were going to be at the 3A classification with schools that are really close to our size, you know, Harrisburg, Pleasant Hill, Crestwell, teams that we traditionally play in a non-league schedule anyway. And then when it came down to it, we had some ADM gain and we were back in the 4A level, which is fine. And I think that's kind of, in a lot of ways, I think that's where we belong. Anyway, the football ad hoc committee, it didn't look like we were going to play down, and then they changed the criteria and we did. And so at that point, you're kind of scrambling around trying to make sure you can find football games. And so what I kind of did is tried to pick opponents that I thought would be the right fit regardless of where we were, if we lined up in 4A or 3A. And so there happened to be some 4A schools. There's 4A schools that are close. You know, Elmira's close. Newport, the Newport athletic director and I spoke, and we both felt it'd be a tragedy if no matter what classifications we were in, we didn't continue that rivalry because it's gone on for, I don't even know how many years, but, you know, a long, long, long time. And it's important, I think, to our communities, both communities, that game continues. But yeah, other than that, the league schedule, we're in special district number 2 North, which is interesting nomenclature. But yeah, I think it'll be, I feel pretty good. I think that's the right level for us right now. And I think we'll be competitive, and hopefully we can field the varsity and a JV team. Again, I think our freshmen come in are pretty good. Hopefully we get a few people who didn't play football this year to come out, and I think that we go from there. Start a new era.
Yeah, there you go. I don't really know much about the scheduling, how that works, but when you play non-league teams, does that play into your overall pick if you go to, say, playoffs or championships, or is that kind of not counted?
Well, actually, there's not a play-in in 3A. There used to be, 4A had a play-in model where it wasn't necessarily the playoffs, but you could qualify based on a ranking system. The way 3A is going to work, we have six schools in our special district, sub-district, if we're able to call it, our division, and three teams from that will make the playoffs. Yeah, so you play five schools. So it's really difficult to get a tie in that situation. Then I think it comes down to, I hope I'm not wrong on this, then I think there's going to be one at-large bid from the entire 3A pool that will get in based on ranking. So yeah, I mean, the teams you play out of league matter. I mean, getting wins matters. Playing out of classification isn't necessarily the best thing to do, especially if you're playing lower classifications, because there's two separate rankings to this. There's a COLI and an RPI, which is complicated, and your out of division games don't count in your COLI. But if we go and we win a couple of those games, that'll definitely be helpful. Also, losing to a team that has a strong record actually is advantageous as well. It's pretty complicated. And you know, I'm a little bit old school. I'm kind of from the school of thought that if you can't make top 3 out of 6, you know, I don't think you really have much of an argument to make the state playoffs. And that doesn't mean that's not necessarily true in some cases. In track and cross country, is only two teams make it, and I think that's plenty. But there are times when you get a strong league, and sometimes that third team can go a long ways. But I'm kind of lucky in that most of the coaches feel the same way. And we talked about league play, like doing a league playoff for volleyball or baseball or softball or basketball. None of our coaches were too interested in that. They kind of felt like, hey, we need to go and take care of our business in our league and make the top 3, and then we'll make the playoffs. And if we don't, you know, we should have worked harder during the season itself. So I'm fortunate that a lot of the staff feels the same way. But yeah, I mean, those non-league you're trying to get ready for the league. I think it's difficult to go in and not have a bunch of games to play. But then I worry, but with our size, that, you know, if you get a couple kids injured, it's not necessarily what you look for either. So you're trying to find those schools that are the right size, that it's competitive, where kids can learn, and then they move on and hopefully fare well in the league.
Right. How are we set for coaches in the other sports? Everything pretty well sewed up? Or
there's the girls' basketball job is open. So that's, again, where we've opened that up, both the head job and the JV job. When we started the season and had a resignation, we told the interim, we wouldn't put an interim tag per se on Coach Reynolds and Coach Truax, but we told them that when the season was over, we wanted to open it up again and encourage them to apply if they were interested. That job's open as well. And other than that, we're pretty much all set at this point.
All right. Okay. Well, I guess next up is track and field. You guys are doing that. You guys got some events coming up here and looking pretty strong from what I've seen.
Well, we don't have a lot of kids out there, but which I think is the case in a lot of our sports. Man, wish we could get more student athletes out for sports, and we wish we could get more student athletes to participate in, you know, three sports. I mean, all the research on all the people who play in the NFL and, you know, play basketball in the NFL, or sorry, NBA and Major League Baseball, all those people were multi-sport athletes. And we live in an age where I think a lot of times kids are trying to specialize, and I know they think that's the right decision, but the research shows otherwise. So we'd love to get some more kids out. But in terms of track and field, we have some talented kids and a lot of youngsters. And we talked last night about this is all about work, and we just have to work and work and work and work. And then if we work and work and work, I think we'll be okay.
I saw Kyle in here last night, and it seems like he's getting taller.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
he's
when
growing.
When you're around people all the time, I don't think you realize how big they are. But I taught last night. I said something about he was doing some drill, and I said, "It's a great job, Kyle." And I said, "And he's a tall drink of water." And we sort of wondered what that meant, but we all had a hearty chuckle over that one.
Us old school folks, we know what that is.
Well,
but, you know.
Kyle's an old soul, so he's definitely on board with anything, any old term. Terminology.
Oh, especially the music. You ought to listen to the music he picks.
That's good.
Viking
arts.
He likes the old stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks so much for coming in and updating us on that, and we'll look forward to finding out who the new guy is going to be.
Could be a female.
I was just going to say, or a girl. And maybe we, or woman, I should say. I get in trouble for saying girl for an adult woman.
You're not supposed to say gal either.
No, not say gal. But they used to have songs that said that. I think of all the songs that are politically incorrect now because they don't say things.
There's a lot
right
of things
way.
In songs we probably shouldn't repeat.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I'll have to share those with you off the air. Thanks so much, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Go Vikes.
Coming up on Our Town, 100 Things to Do in Eugene Before You Die.